Iran unveils homemade hypersonic missiles as the leader of the Islamic Revolution renews calls on Muslim nations to support the Palestinian cause. Also coming up, Ansarullah says Yemeni naval forces have seized an Israeli cargo ship in the Red Sea shortly after the resistance movement threatened to retaliate the genocide in Gaza. Well, welcome to our studios here in the capital, Tehran. This is News. Thanks for joining us. Israel is bombing and killing more Palestinians in the Gaza Strip as the regime's deadly onslaught in the territory enters its 45th day. The regime bombed the Indonesian hospital in northern Gaza in one of its latest attacks, killing at least 15 people. Israeli strikes also killed dozens of others in Nusayrat and Al-Barij refugee camps in central Gaza Strip and in eastern Rafah. The regime has been bombing hospitals, schools, and residential buildings indiscriminately. These include the Saturday strike on the UN-run Fakhura School and Al-Shifa Hospital. The bombing campaign has so far killed more than 13,000 Palestinians, most of them women and children. Many also remain missing, possibly under the rubble of bombed-out buildings. People who are witnessing the unending cycle of bloodshed in Gaza are critical of inaction by some Arab countries. Reports coming from Gaza paint a grim picture of the situation of health facilities. Israeli warplanes have also launched a violent attack on the vicinity of European Gaza Hospital. 25 hospitals and 52 other health facilities have stopped working because of incessant Israeli bombings, as well as the lack of fuel, equipment, and medicines. The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution says the developments in the Gaza Strip blew the lid off the Western country's support for racial discrimination. Ayatollah Sayyid Khamenei says Israel is the epitome of racial discrimination. The leader says the regime considers itself the superior race, and that is why it massacres thousands of children without any pang of conscience. Ayatollah Khamenei says the support by the leaders of the U.S., Germany, France, and the U.K. for such a regime also means that they support racial discrimination, and this is one of the most loathsome issues in the world. The leader added that what is happening in Gaza demonstrates the military and operational failure of Israel. Ayatollah Khamenei said the regime has failed to achieve its stated aim of eliminating Hamas and the resistance despite over 40 days of bombing campaign. The leader stressed that atrocious bombing of hospitals and women and children in Gaza proves that Israeli leaders are angered by their failure. Ayatollah Khamenei also called on all Muslim countries to cut ties with Israel, at least for a limited period of time, over the regime's genocide in Gaza. Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps has unveiled homemade advanced military achievements in the presence of the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. The new Fatah II missile is an upgraded version of Fatah I, furnished with a hypersonic glide vehicle warhead that can maneuver and glide at hypersonic speed. Meanwhile, the Mehran Mobile Defense System and the Ninth of Day Upgraded Defense System, capable of launching short to medium-range projectiles, were unveiled. A new version of the Shahed drone was also showcased. The exhibition displaying the latest achievements of the IRGC was toured by the Iranian leader early on Sunday. In recent years, the Islamic Republic has made major headways in manufacturing military equipment, which is aimed at boosting self-defense. Iran says resistance groups will end their reactions to Israeli onslaught on the Gaza Strip only when the regime stops its atrocities against Palestinians. Iran's foreign ministry spokesman said in his weekly presser that resistance groups have time and again warned of the consequences if Israel does not halt its crimes against Palestinians. Nasser Kanani said, however, that resistance groups act independently and are not commanded by Iran. He rejected accusations that Iran operates proxies in the region. He said such accusations are rooted in Israel's attempt to find an excuse for its strategic defeat from a Palestinian group. The spokesman also touched on the broad global opposition to the war in Gaza. He said this shows the global anger about the war and the unconditional support that Israel is getting from the U.S. Yemeni armed forces say that they have seized an Israeli ship in the Red Sea in response to the regime's massacre of Palestinians in the Gaza Strip.
The naval forces of the Yemeni armed forces, with God's help, carried out a military operation in the Red Sea, the results of which were the seizure of an Israeli ship, and it was taken to the Yemeni coast. The Yemeni armed forces are dealing with the ship's crew in accordance with the teachings of our Islamic religion. The Yemeni armed forces renew their warning to all affiliated ships. It warns the Israeli enemy or those dealing with it that it will become a legitimate target for the armed forces and calls on all countries whose nationals work in the Red Sea to refrain from any war or activity with Israeli ships or Israeli-owned ships.
The spokesman for Yemeni armed forces added that it is Israel that is threatening the security of the region and international waterways. Sari said the Yemeni army will continue to carry out military operations against Israel until it stops its aggression against Palestinians. Israel has denied owning or operating the seized ship. It also says no Israelis were on board. The Yemeni army has also recently launched several rounds of missile and drone attacks against Israel. Head of the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees, Felipe Lazzarini, says targeting UNRWA shelters in the Gaza Strip shows a total disregard for humanity. The UNRWA chief said that Israel's attacks on UN shelters blatantly contravene the rules of war. He said the number of facilities hit and civilians killed cannot just be collateral damage. Lazzarini said most of the facilities that have been hit had families in them, including older people and children. He said they were all clearly marked as UN buildings carrying a blue flag. According to UNRWA, Israel has directly hit 17 of its facilities in Gaza since October 7. On Saturday, over 200 people were killed after Israeli airstrikes targeted two UNRWA schools in Jabalia. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has rejected as misleading and false the allegations that it is holding Israeli captives at the Al-Shifa hospital complex in Gaza City. Hamas said the Israeli regime is trying to cover up its military failure by leveling such allegations, added that those claims are in line with the regime's campaign of lies and misinformation. The resistance movement noted that many of the injured captives were sent to Al-Shifa hospital for treatment and then were returned to their places of detention. On Sunday, the Israeli military released videos showing Israeli captives taken to Al-Shifa Hospital, claiming that Hamas is holding them inside the medical complex. The claim is in line with the regime's accusation that Hamas headquarters are located underneath Al-Shifa Hospital, which has been denied by the resistance group. The UN High Commissioner for Human Rights has called for an immediate end to the Israeli war crimes in Gaza. In a statement, Volker Turk described Israeli brutalities in Gaza as horrendous. He said the massacre of so many people and the displacement of hundreds of thousands of Gaza residents run counter to the principles of protecting civilians enshrined in international law. He said that images taken in the aftermath of Israeli strikes on schools and hospitals are horrifying. The UN official also decried the regime for denying Palestinians access to humanitarian assistance. He reiterated that failure to comply with the rules of international humanitarian law constitutes war crimes. Since Israel launched its genocidal war on the Gaza Strip, around 1.6 million people have been displaced inside the besieged territory. Most of the people moving to the south from northern Gaza have taken shelter in Khan Yunis, which is now overcrowded. Here is what some of them had to say about the dire humanitarian situation there.
The place is very crowded, in the classrooms, staircase, corridors and the yard. The school currently houses nearly 5,000 refugees, and more people are still coming every day. The water is very scarce. All the refugees here consume non-potable water provided by a tank. Many children suffer from intestinal colic due to the contaminated water, in addition to malnutrition, because most of the food they eat is canned food.
There is a severe shortage of basic goods such as oil, sugar, flour. Since Khan Yunis received thousands of refugees from across Gaza Strip, these basic goods can no longer be found here.
We are displaced due to the heavy shelling on a place called Fallujah, and we went to Jabalia. The area was also targeted, and the corpses piled up on the streets because of the continuous bombardment. The ambulances carried the corpses to be buried in mass graves, and most of the corpses were mutilated. The Israeli army said it would expand the attacks, so we left.
At least 59 Palestinian journalists have so far been killed in the ongoing Israeli war on the Gaza Strip, which began 1.5 months ago. According to the Euromed Human Rights Monitor, the figure is the highest number of journalists killed in wars and conflicts in recent history. It says that Tel Aviv has turned its horrifying onslaught on Gaza into a killing spree for Palestinian journalists. The rights group adds the regime is deliberately targeting media professionals and offices in an attempt to impose a news blackout on its war crimes. Euromed says Israel has purposefully left no safe haven for journalists in the besieged coastal territory. Palestinian resistance fighters continue to deal blows to Israel in retaliation for its deadly aggression on the besieged Gaza Strip. Hamas military wing Al-Qassam Brigades says it attacked Israeli troops in northern Gaza, forcing them to retreat after heavy clashes. Groups said they destroyed 29 Israeli tanks and military vehicles in the latest fighting. Earlier, the Al-Qassam Brigades said six Israeli soldiers were killed after it targeted them with anti-personnel rockets in a village south of Gaza City. The regime's army says it has lost 64 soldiers since launching a ground invasion in Gaza. However, resistance groups say that Israel is concealing the real number of its casualties. Protesters across the globe continue to voice support for the Palestinians as Israeli killing campaign in Gaza shows no sign of abating. In Valencia, Spain, hundreds of protesters hit the streets waving Palestinian flags and calling for the boycott of the Israeli regime over its crimes against civilians in Gaza. Participants carried effigies of shrouded babies as a sign of Israeli killing of more than 5,000 Palestinian children in Gaza. In the Swedish capital, Stockholm, a large number of people took to the streets to show solidarity with the Palestinians, chanting slogans for the freedom of the occupied lands. Demonstrators in Copenhagen, Denmark, called for an end to Israel's genocidal war against Gazans. Milan, London, Geneva, Lisbon, Beirut, and Sana'a were also the scene of pro-Palestine rallies a day earlier.
Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is under mounting pressure as protests against the Israeli onslaught of the besieged Gaza Strip enter a sixth week. Demonstrators underline that it's not just the U.S. president and Israeli prime minister behind the killings of thousands of people in Gaza, saying that their government is also complicit in Israel's atrocities.
We're seeing an intensification of our people's struggle. Zionism is falling in front of our eyes. People are refusing to believe Zionist lies about the Palestinian people, about Gaza. Our numbers are growing every single week. We are seeing people all across the world take up more intense forms of direct action, refusing to be quiet, even though 6 weeks in, the Canadian government and Western governments have not called for a ceasefire, continue to send weapons to the Zionist state.
The International Center of Justice for Palestinians has announced its intention to seek the prosecution of four Canadian officials, including the Prime Minister. The organization says it will pursue all appropriate courses of action to hold them accountable before the International Criminal Court for supporting the Israeli regime.
So this case is part of a larger international collaboration to bring charges for aiding and abetting against Canadian officials who have been complicit with Israeli war crimes. All of them in their own way have been either acting or failing to act in a way that is benefiting the Israeli armed forces with great intentionality. And what we see right now is we see a situation where arms are still being shipped from Canada to Israel while it's carrying out war crimes. We see money being misappropriated from so-called charitable organizations here and being sent over to assist the occupation forces. We also see the government here failing to do anything at all to stop recruitment for the Israeli military, which is also happening right now.
Activists are calling for an immediate ceasefire in the Palestinian territory to prevent further loss of life and say that Ottawa must cancel all arms export permits to Israel and require the regime to fully comply with international law.
If the politicians and the media will not listen to us, then we will make it impossible for them to ignore us. We will not allow for business to go on as usual while a genocide takes place against our people in Gaza.
These mass protests demonstrate that people here and around the world no longer believe Israel's propaganda as people from across the country prepare for next week's national march on Ottawa. Camila Escalante, Toronto.
Another pro-Palestinian demonstration has taken place in the Yemeni capital Sana'a in solidarity with Palestinians and their resilience in the face of the Israeli aggression. Protesters also expressed support for the Yemeni government's decision to continue targeting Israel with drones and ballistic missiles. They stressed that this is a battle between good versus evil.
This is a battle against the heads and masterminds of disbelief, at the head of which is America and Israel, the great Satan and the cancer in the body of the Muslim world. By the will of Allah, victory is near.
Last week, the Yemeni army confirmed they are able to target Israeli ships in the Red Sea and any other location. The army also stated they will target Israeli ships heading toward occupied Palestine or any other country. The Ansarullah military says its moves against Israel are part of efforts to pressure the regime in Tel Aviv to put a halt to the atrocities against Palestinians. The government in Sana'a believes these military moves could lead to a full-scale war with the U.S. and the Israeli regime. Despite that, Yemen leaders believe war has been permitted against those killing Muslims and forcing them out of their land.
Israel's economy is heavily dependent on imports and exports traded through Yemen's crucial Bab al-Mandab Strait. This comes as the Ansarullah movement has announced it will not allow any Israeli shipments to pass through this strait as long as the Tel Aviv regime continues its acts of aggression in occupied Palestine. Yusuf Mawdi, Sana'a.
And that does it for this edition of World News. Bye-bye for now.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Economic divide.
The Israeli war in Gaza continues to claim civilian lives. The carnage is so bad that the world is turning against Israel and its staunch support of the U.S., for that matter, for supporting the genocide. Many people are horrified at the images of dead children, especially at the hospitals. Some have decided they would boycott Israeli-made products. Boycotting Israel, the topic of this edition of Economic Divide. Coming up in this program, how will boycotting Israel take place? Well, there has been an Arab League boycott, but it has not been enforced. Why is that? There's also diplomatic and military boycott. Then, let's take a look at the region, West Asia, or as it's called, Middle East in some corners. There's a trade embargo that can be placed from the countries in the region. Iran, for that matter, has recommended an oil embargo. Also, the normalization reversals. Will that take place? Then, we take a look at social media, the role that it has played in Israeli war on Gaza. The word needs to be spread. That's what social media has done. Generation Z has taken a liking to that when it comes to TikTok and also Twitter, known as X. Also, multinationals sustaining Israel is what needs to be stopped.
As Israel's genocidal war against Palestinians in the Gaza Strip continues, calls are growing among Arab and Muslim nations to boycott the Tel Aviv regime. In 1954, the Cairo-based Arab League endorsed a resolution to boycott Israel following its creation in historical Palestine. But the Arab League does not enforce the boycott, and boycott regulations are not binding on member states. Arab leaders have gradually abandoned the boycott movement and signed treaties with the regime. However, ordinary Arab people are urging their leaders and the Arab League to boycott the regime economically and politically. The boycott campaign has been accompanied by calls for Arab countries to sever ties with Israel. Calls for the boycott made by young, tech-savvy individuals have spread. The boycott campaign includes browser extensions dedicated websites and smartphone apps that identify prescribed products. More traditional methods are also in use. Giant billboards in several Arab nations have posted images of blood-stained children in bandages.
Do not look away. Do not look away from Gaza, away from Palestine, because it makes you uncomfortable. How could any genocide happen? People looked the other way.
I feel like if there's anything we can take away from this tragic, tragic situation in the Middle East, is Gen Z has been talking a lot about it on TikTok, Instagram, whatever. And I have learned so much more on TikTok in the past 4 days than I have, like, watching a news outlet or whatever.
Time now to take a look at the post online that took place. Well, needless to say, it seems like the floodgates have been opened because there have been so many that I'm sure you're familiar with the amount of information out there that was posted and continues to be posted online. First up, we picked this one. Activists in Missouri block a Boeing factory which sends bombs for Israel's genocidal attack against the U.S. government enabling the Gaza genocide. It's a people's duty to take action to stop complicity. Next up, since day one, Zionists turned occupied Palestine into a base for terrorism. Israel is not a country. It's a terrorist camp against Palestinians and other Muslim nations. Fighting this despotic regime is fighting against oppression and terrorism. And this is everyone's responsibility. Next, a boycott flavor in this particular post. After just 3 weeks of boycott, Starbucks in Malaysia has reduced operation hours nationwide due to the devastating loss of customers. The next step would be individual outlet closures and, eventually, the complete disappearance of Starbucks from the country. Now, in Egypt, also a boycott move where a discount of £73, they have said this is crazy in that country. This has never happened before. In addition to the brands of Pepsi, Coca-Cola, and others, everyone stopped buying them completely. And whoever buys them, we treat them like an outcast. So you can see how the boycott movement there is actually pretty much, not only in Egypt, it's taking momentum around the world. Okay, let me introduce our guest for our program. We have first Oliver Boyd Barrett. He's an emeritus professor of Ohio and at Ohio and California University. And he's also the author of Conflict Narratives in Syria. Oliver Barrett, welcome to Economic Divide. It's good to have you with us. To begin with, many are not aware that there has been an Arab League boycott of Israel, but it's not enforced. It was adopted by them to boycott Israel and other relations between the Arab states and Israel, but the fact that they don't enforce it is where the problem is. Tell us why this was adopted, what it's all about, and why it's not being enforced, especially at this time.
I believe that the Arab League has, in the past, has played a very influential role in protecting Palestinian interests vis-a-vis Israel. It was party to the formation of the Palestinian Liberation Organization, for example. But the, in my view, the effectiveness of the Arab League vis-a-vis the Palestinian cause began to deteriorate with the Oslo Accords of 1995. These brought about a reconciliation of sorts between the PLO and Israel, in as much as each recognized the other, and set in train a process that was confirmed in 2020 by the Abrahams Accord of a greater rapprochement between the between many members of the Arab League and Israel. In the meantime, the fissures between members of the Arab League have, if anything, grown. Again, weakening its effectiveness in its response to the events of October the 7th.
Okay, moving on to the next guest, we have Charles Carlson joining us. He is the co-founder of We Hold These Truths, and he's also the director of an award-winning documentary by the name of Roots of Christian Zionism. Charles Carlson, welcome to the program. This war obviously has shown to the world the true face of Israel's brutality, and many are taking action aside from coming out on the streets to boycott Israel, especially countries who are very obviously sympathetic and aligned with the Palestinian cause, and I'm referring to the countries here in West Asia. After all, Israel trades with these countries, but how much of a will is there for these countries to actually boycott Israel?
Well, in the first place, all these questions about why Israel acts the way it does can be boiled down to a very simple formula, and that is, what does the power structure in the U.S. Tell the state of Israel to do? The state of Israel does appear to be the boss of the entire world when it comes to political matters of war. But actually, the pressure groups that are in the U.S. Provide the money to keep the state of Israel going, the truth is, when it stands in the way of objectives of the current U.S. government and of the people who control the U.S. government, they simply put pressure on Arab countries, and this is done economically for the most part, but also in a threatening fashion in some cases.
There have been plenty of conversations on talk shows covering the Israeli carnage in Gaza. One of the positive points have been the disinformation when it comes to the facts about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. But there have been moments when the guest at some of these channels puts things into perspective in such a way that it shows the true colors of the Israeli regime. Such was the case in point in this talk show host.
I would do exactly like Israel did, kill as many people as possible since the world is letting me do it. The thing is, the question is, what is a proportionate response? Because
yes,
it has been different from one tier to another. So if you look to this graph, for example, this is the death of Israeli and Palestinians, and it's changing from one year to year. It's like fluctuating like crypto. So my question is today, what is the going rate today for human lives? I mean, 2014 was a great year for Ben Shapiro. 88 Israelis were died, and there was 2,329 Palestinians killed on the other side. That is one Israeli for 27 Palestinians. That is a very good exchange rate. I mean, 2018, 300 Palestinians died. Ah, who's counting, you know? Do you condemn Hamas for the atrocity? Yes, I condemn Hamas. Mm. Hamas is the source of all evil. They are the reason for everything. And you know what? Let's, for a minute, imagine a world without Hamas.
Right.
What will this world look like? Mm. Let's give this world a name, and let's name this world the West Bank. Hamas has absolutely no control in the West Bank. And since the beginning of this year, only through August, 37 Palestinian kids were killed. Mm. No music festival, no paragliding, no Hamas. Mm. Since the occupation of the West Bank, 7,000 Palestinians were killed. No music festival, no paragliding, no Hamas.
It's time now for the InfoNews section of the program. First up, we're going to take a look at the U.S. financial system, and this entry caught our eyes. It's something that is somewhat below the radar, but it's really, really important news. It's called a terrorist economy. That's how it was described, where Washington is prepared to create a new financial disaster for the whole world. That's right, the U.S. Treasury market, that's essential to the functioning of the global financial system, unfortunately, doesn't seem to be working. And we are looking at this in terms of our take, where when you take a look at U.S. Treasury bonds altogether, it was once U.S.'s biggest export. Since 2014, that figure, however, has been negative 4%. So that's a huge figure for that to be in the negative sphere. Foreign central banks, the reason, have stopped buying. Meanwhile, you have U.S. deficits that have continued to grow, whether it's the national or otherwise. And we know the U.S. deficit is obviously a very high figure. Okay? As a matter of fact, we figured this would be best to cover in our next entry, where this covers the U.S. debt. It said the U.S. debt to top $50 trillion, on paper, mind you. The country's $31.4 trillion debt ceiling was exceeded in January, and it was later scrapped altogether until the year 2025. And when we picked that piece of news, this piece of news came out, which we merged into this one news here. Moody's made an announcement and lowered the outlook on U.S. debt to negative. No surprise there. All right, let's go back to the Israeli genocidal war on Gaza. The U.N. made an announcement about the poverty in Palestine, where it's set to soar by more than a third if the war continued for a second month. We're in the second month right now. Obviously, it is going to continue. Who knows for how long? But it put things into perspective by saying nearly 20 years of development progress could be wiped out in the occupied territories as well. Then a look at inflation in Europe. That's always a big newsmaker, but in a different way here. The IMF made this announcement where the Middle East conflict could drive up inflation in Europe. So again, one of the collateral damages of the Israeli war in Gaza, where this conflict has already impacted energy prices. No surprise there, which could drive up inflation in Europe more generally overall. Those were the topics we picked for the InfoNews section.
Economic Divide. The series looks at the financial health of the economies around the world and its impact on countries. You can listen to Economic Divide on Mondays and Tuesdays on IRIB English Radio.
One of the things that Israel does is that it expands its settlements, which is an act deemed illegal under international law. Now, this way it can claim more Palestinian land, naturally. You would think that it is Israel that is paying for this, but believe it or not, it's the U.S. that is footing this bill to some degree, and it comes from all places, charity from the U.S. That is the focus of our in-depth section for this program. In order to get an idea here, what the U.S. does through its charity comes in this form. And it is the CFI, the Central Fund of Israel, a charity registered in New York, providing financing and investment for illegal settlement buildings in the occupied territories. Now, the money that comes through from the U.S. in this fund gets dispersed. It goes to what's called the Ateret Kohanim. That's an Israeli organization, buys land through reclamation to expand settlements and settler population. Okay? Next. And they say that on their website. Efrat is again, an Israeli entity, company. Agricultural projects to meet the daily needs of the Zionists is what they plan. Then also through Efrat, upgrading roads and security for the settlements for expanded settlement construction. This is how all the money is spent. Next, the Israeli Land Fund, marketing land and real estate exclusively for Jews to create an ideological ownership. Again, the money that comes from the charity is dispersed, and these are the different organizations it goes to. And finally, Regavim, supporting Israeli officials for exercising military powers against Palestinians until all of the land is taken from Palestinians. That's what Regavim does. And this is what happens. Construction activities of illegal settlements from Ateret Kohanim, it goes to this, the expulsion of Palestinians. Then the next one that we talked about, agricultural products to meet the daily needs of the Zionists, it goes for the creation of settlements. Each one of these contributes to the outcome. Next, expanded settlement infrastructure from upgrading roads and security for the settlements. And then for the marketing of land and real estate, you have relocation of immigrants that goes to the settlements. They go to the settlements. And finally, in terms of supporting Israeli officials for their military power exercises, legalization of settlements ultimately happens there. So there you have an idea about how the money from the charity in the U.S., which goes to this fund that I talked about, the CFI, and the way it gets dispersed, these are all the different Israeli companies. In their website, they actually say the things that are outlined here, and then how that funds the illegal settlement construction. Okay? All right, let's find out what our guests think about all this and more. We have Oliver Boyd Barrett, Emeritus Professor at Ohio and California University, who rejoins us. Welcome back to the program, Oliver Barrett. What we want to focus on in terms of the question I want to ask you is the information that people were resorting to when it came to this illegal war that Israel, the genocidal war, was waging on Palestinians. And, for example, Generation Z really took to social media and looked at Twitter, now known as X, and also TikTok. How effective do you think that was in terms of educating the masses, and, for example, the Generation Z, to get an idea about the conflict and how there's so much disinformation when it comes to Palestinians?
Well, living this is an incredibly important moment that we are living through. From a geopolitical point of view, I think I tend to agree with those who feel that there is no turning back at this point. The credibility of Israel has been gravely damaged. There are very few countries in the global south right now who will feel very enthusiastic about improving their relations with Israel. I think the fostering of stronger relations between the Arab League and the BRICS, and of course there's a lot of overlap between those two categories, and other alliances incorporating the Muslim world, and incorporating countries of the global south, or we can actually now call it the global majority. But I think right now we need to be building an even bigger, greater alliance, building on the outrage throughout the world, including the developed world, or so-called developed world, including the collective West, in other words, and including particularly the Muslim countries of the global south. This is a time for global alliances in opposition to the outrage of Israel's policy of genocide vis-a-vis the Palestinian people.
All right, thank you for that. Let me bring back Charles Carlson into the picture, co-founder of We Hold These Truths. Charles Carlson, welcome back. Our guest talked about the global impact that the genocidal war has had when it comes to the Gaza Strip, but there's more dimensions when it comes to the conflict between Israel and Palestinians. People have taken to social media to have an idea about what's going on because of the biased media narratives through Western media in particular. How much of an impact has that had when it comes to shaping the psyche of the people when they took a look at this war?
Well, the question is, where does the power structure in the United States really come from? What supports this power structure that allows the wishes of the state of Israel to precede the better interests of the rest of the world? And the answer to this comes from power structures, power groups in the United States that are centered in, but not exclusively part of, the very influential Christian majority, I want to say majority of the voting people, majority of the thinking people in the United States have some affiliation with religion, either through the television or through the tens of thousands of churches that are attended by Americans.
The ongoing boycott is having a significant economic impact on Israel. The war is estimated to cost the regime as much as $51 billion. But that is an optimistic estimate of the cost of war, and boycotting Israel will add more economic pain to the regime. Muslims are abstaining from purchasing Israeli goods in order to convey a message to Israel. Boycott is considered to be part of a wider movement called the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions BDS movement, which was formally launched in 2005 by a coalition of about 170 Palestinian grassroots and civil society groups. Calls to boycott Israel have grown in recent years amid concern about its treatment of Palestinians. The movement targets international companies that they say are engaged in violations of Palestinian human rights, drawing inspiration from the boycotts of South Africa during apartheid. The BDS movement encourages the continued pressure on those who support Israel's genocidal war against Palestinians in Gaza.
It's time to boycott Starbucks, Disney Plus, Coca-Cola, McDonald's, Walmart and Instacart, and many other brands. I am deleting all the apps. I am no longer supporting those brands ever again because they think that what they're doing to Palestinians is okay, and it's not.
Hello and welcome to the Quick Take section. I'm Matti Apossian. When it comes to boycotting Israel, it doesn't only include products. There are different boycotts, from trade to the military, diplomatic ones. All have come into effect in this genocidal war that Israel is waging against the Gaza Strip. One of the starting points can be action from Muslim countries, especially regional ones, and that would involve boycotting trade with Israel. The following shows the respective countries and the amount of trade that they are doing with Israel. Obviously, a stop to this would definitely hurt Israel, especially at this juncture. The other boycott option would be in the arms and military sector. That is one of the biggest sectors in Israel's economy, and a boycott there would negatively impact its economy. Between 2018 and 2022, at least 35 countries imported weapons from Israel, totaling $3.2 billion. It needs to be mentioned that 10 countries have received about half of all U.S. foreign aid since World War II. Israel has received about $264 billion in foreign aid from the U.S. But some of the countries that are receiving this aid are also buying from Israel, so cutting arms sales from Israel would go against their interests. On the diplomatic front, Israel has definitely taken a huge hit from the war it has waged against the defenseless people of Gaza. Worldwide protests, for one, show how its image has been shattered on the world stage. Eight countries have recalled their ambassadors from Israel, as seen here. One country has gone a step further and has severed its ties with Israel, and that was Bolivia. And that does it for this Quick Take section.
Western media has been trying hard to control the narrative on this war, but it has failed to do just that. Media outlets like CNN, BBC, and the likes have tried to portray Israel as being the victim. One well-known CNN reporter at the Rafah border crossing, however, got an earful from an Egyptian reporter who put her in place for the U.S. and Israel overall when it comes to Palestinians.
This is our problem. You own the narrative. You own the United Nations. You own Hollywood. You own all these mouthpieces. Where are our voices? Our voices need to be heard as well. We've been watching your channels, and instead of mourning our death, instead of mourning these Palestinian children, we've been having to deal with more dehumanization of Arabs. We ask you to condemn. Where are your condemnations? Where's your channel covering this? Cover this. Say the truth. We understand you're an employee. Government. That being said, you're a country that's claimed free speech, and now we are watching an occupation, and we are watching the result of your silence, of your misrepresentation of Arabs.
That does it for this edition of the program. We're going to continue this theme with the Israeli war on Gaza. From Mikavet Tagwe and the entire team, it's goodbye. On to the next Economic Divide.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Hussein Latifi and you're listening to the program For Humanity from IRIB English Radio. In this program, we are talking about the concept of human being in the Holy Quran. And in the previous episode, we talked about how the Holy Quran designates a perfection for human being. And also Quran regards human being a being that is in motion and in journey. And Quran tells us that we should choose the best possible destination for this journey. And I've said there are two elements needed for this journey. One of them is the faith, and also the other one is the righteous action. And we were talking about the different aspects of the righteous action. We ended up talking about what stops us from doing the righteous deed. And the first one was hawa, the carnal desire of the soul. So we don't need to search for that element which stops us from doing the good thing out of ourselves. Some people, they have a habit of blaming it on others. If they do something wrong, if they make a mistake, they start blaming others and putting it on the shoulder of others. It was because of that person. It was because of that situation. As if they don't have even the slightest share of the problem. No, we should start from ourselves and see that within ourselves, there is something called hawa. This is unique in the teachings of Islam, that Quran talks about different souls and nafsul ammara bisu, the commanding soul. One soul that we have is the commanding soul that commands us to do bad things. And, or in another verse, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have placed within the human soul the source of virtue and also the source of vice. And it is up to the human being himself to decide which source he prevails over the other. He gives priority to the other. So this hawa, the carnal desire that is within our soul, we should be careful about. We have this in our teachings in Islam, that a'da adawwak. There's a hadith from Imam Ali alayhi salam. The greatest of your enemy is the one that settles within your soul. So there is one element within us that if we don't control it, if we don't take care of it, it's going to take us into the wrong direction. Or in another hadith, we read that كَمْ مِنْ عَقْلٍ أَمِيرْ تَهْتَهَوَنْ أَسِيرْ. How many intellects, the source of reasoning and understanding in human being is called عقل. So there are how many cases in which the intellect is enslaved by the desire. The person is smart, the person can calculate very good, very well, but he is using that capacity, he's using his cleverness or her cleverness in the wrong direction, just to fulfill her or his desire. So this is the case of enslavement of the intellect by hawa, by the desire. And also the opposite is possible. If a person gives priority to his intellect, and then it doesn't mean that he blocks off all the desires. It doesn't mean he just cancels out all the desires. No, the reason or the intellect actually somehow comes up with a balance way and approach to fulfilling the desires. Also, in another verse of the Holy Quran, we recite that some people think that the good and best possible form of the universe was that if everything was based and was designed, was organized according to their hawa. Quran says, وَلَوَ اتَّبَى الْحَقُّ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ لَفَسَدَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِ. They demand and expect that everything be in accordance with their own desire. And we should explain more about this verse, inshallah, in the second segment.
Dear listeners, you're listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. This is Hossein Latifi, and you're listening to the program for Humanity from IRIB English Radio. We were talking about the verse in the Holy Quran that says some people expect and demand everything to be in accordance with their desire. They start complaining and making negative comments about everything in life. And when you ask them what is the problem, they say that because things are not according to their desire, then they are not happy with life. So Quran says, if the life and everything in the universe was to be in accordance with the desire of person one, and then the desire of person two, and then so لَفَسَدَتِ السَّمَوَاتُ, everything would be destroyed, because there is no limit to the desires of people, and there should be some overall organization and order in the whole system. So to expect that everything be in accordance with my desire and nobody else, that is not correct way of understanding the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we do not train ourselves, if we do not make limits for these desires, and also to make the balance between the intellect, the source of reasoning in human soul, and also the source of desire, we will have problems even in our calculation, even in our understanding of the universe. So this was one thing in the Holy Quran that we talked about, something that stops us from having virtues and having righteous deeds. The other element that Quran proposes, we just start a little bit of it and then we leave it for the next episode, because it's a very good discussion and probably long one. And it's about Iblis, Shaytan, the concept of Shaytan in Islam. We should have a proper understanding of it and to know differences between the correct belief about Shaytan and the incorrect versions of it. Because there are beliefs of, evil existing here and there, but not necessarily all of them are correct, because we talked about the content of faith. Sometimes the content of faith is not necessarily right. So some people believe in Shaitan, but the content of this belief is superstitious. Like, they believe Shaitan has control over them. They believe that Shaitan is some entity that constantly is interfering in their lives here and there. And they think Shaitan is black magic itself. No, they are completely different things. And the first thing is to make that clear cut distinction and line between superstitious beliefs that they don't have any source in Quran and religious teachings, and the ones that are muhkamat, the solid teachings of the Holy Quran regarding this issue. And if we don't make that distinction, it happens that some people reject it altogether. They think that the teachings of Islam or Shaitan are those that they have heard from their grandmother, and they're not rational. So everything about Shaitan in Islam also is not rational. No, it's not correct. If we refer to the sources, first-hand sources of the teachings of Islam, like Quran, we realize that if we understand this being which exists, some people think Shaitan is just some energy. No, it's an entity. There is Iblis, there is a thing, there is a living being. But it's not a human being. Although Quran talks about Shayateen al-Ins, from among human beings, there are some people that are Shaitan, that are the embodiment of Shaitan. But there is one entity called Iblis who was there at the time of the creation of Adam alayhi salam, and who was there when the fall took place, and who was there when everything bad happens on earth, and who is there when people make wrong decisions, when there are injustice in the world and everything else. So we should understand it, we should accept it, and then we should go in deeper levels and understand what are the superstitious beliefs and what are the correct ones. Inshallah, in the following episode, we go into details about this topic and we see the narrative of Quran, the description of Quran in this regard. Thank you very much for listening. Inshallah, we will have the next session on this topic. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
صلى الله على محمد صلى الله على النبي صلى الله على محمد وعلى آل النبي.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Lullaby, my darling, lullaby, my son, sleep in peace, sleep in silence. I've dug the earth with my hands, my bare hands. I've searched for my roots in this soil, this holy land, the land which is yours and which is mine, Palestine. And you, good earth, glorious land, son to you, see, I offer my son to you, only to you. I lifted his head from his mother's arms, I put him on your chest, still in red, to water you. My roots, Palestine, 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 Palestine. Lullaby, my darling, lullaby, my child, sleep in peace, sleep in silence. Since the story of my anger and your blood, the story of our mother's tears and your brother's cry, have to take us on, have to take us on. Lullaby, my darling, lullaby, my dear, sleep in peace, sleep in silence. Sit some of thee inside my aching heart, some of thee inside our land, our blood joins in sacrifice, sacrifice. Your blood roots me here, this
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
The headlines. Israel genocide in Gaza enters day 45.